The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases. He drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him, said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. The book of Job's theme is the eternal problem of unmerited suffering. And his central character, Job, who attempts to understand the sufferings that engulf him. Using the framework of an ancient legend that predates the people of Israel, God mentions Job to Satan, saying, "There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." In the story, however, Satan contends that Job is only righteous because God has favored him generously. Satan dares God, if given the approval to inflict suffering, Job will change and curse God. God permits Satan to assault Job to experiment with this outrageous claim, but he forbids Satan to take Job's life. It's a book not so much about a question about why bad things happen to good people, as oftentimes people think. But the story of Job shows how devotion to God can sustain a person through any adversity. Faced with the horror of losing his possessions, his animals, his relatives, his wife and children, and finally his own health, Job still refuses to curse God. How resilient is the human person in the face of tragedy, having lost everything but still aware that there is this greater thing called faith, which Job refuses to lose, though he struggles with it mightily. In the end, God cannot be defined according to our prosperity nor our poverty. It's confusing to Job how a human can truly satisfy God's justice, as his ways are mysterious and exceed human comprehension. Furthermore, humans cannot possibly convince God with their words. God cannot be fooled. And Job confesses that he does not even know himself well enough to adequately defend his case to God. Job desires for someone who can mediate between himself and God. This is the part that most people don't realize, because we don't hear this part of the book of Job at Mass during the year. But in the 16th and the 19th chapters of the book, Job believes that there is a witness or a redeemer in heaven who will testify for his integrity. The suffering proves too much for Job, and he turns bitter, anxious, and scared. He deplores the injustice that God seems to let evil people thrive while he and many other honest people suffer. Job wants to face God and protest, but cannot physically find him. He assumes that wisdom is concealed from humans, but he decides to persevere in seeking wisdom by fearing God and avoiding evil. It is this witness or redeemer that we now see at work in the gospel today. It's pretty clear. It is the will of God that this suffering should end. Illness is healed. Evil is cast out. The resolution of this suffering that everyone has been seeking for centuries is Jesus, whom everyone is looking for in the gospel today, in his person. He told them, "For this purpose have I come." At this point in the gospel, Jesus has called Simon and Andrew, James and John. Later, he calls other apostles and disciples, and he calls all of us to be his presence that is healing and relief to those who suffer. So consider this: God had to be physically present to walk among people to make that healing known. He had to be incarnate, to be visible so that God's people would know him and know that he was the one healing them, and that it was God's will that he go out to preach, heal, and drive out evil. We too must be physically present to walk among people, to show God incarnate, visible so people know him and know that it is he who heals them. If we don't provide that kind of presence, we have failed as the body of Christ, whose mission is to serve, to teach, to form our community according to the will of God. Next weekend is Commitment Sunday for the Bishop's Lenten Appeal. You can look at all the things Jesus was doing in his spirit of compassion and unconditional love, and you can enable our local church of Arlington to accomplish this mission in the same way. This is our opportunity to directly participate in that kind of healing will of God that our society and our world so badly needs. One of the things I find so interesting about the book of Job is that people identify so much with him, not in his wealth and prestige, only when he falls into his deepest misery. Maybe there is comfort in knowing that someone has hit bottom further below where we might be right now. But it is the suffering that we identify with. If that is true, then we must accept the responsibility of being the solution to alleviate that suffering. Job only believed in a witness or redeemer who will be his vindication. We know and have seen and have been called to be that vindication. I ask you to please remember the Bishop's Lenten Appeal generously next weekend.